Let me draw your attention today, dear friend, to a few thoughts from the first chapter of the book of Romans. In this marvelous presentation of Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, we have the message of the gospel proclaimed. The Apostle Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile." Now the gospel is good news. It's glad tidings. In the first verse of the chapter, we notice that it is called the gospel of God. God is the one in whose heart the gospel originated. His good news he has for men today originated in his heart of love for all men, for God is love. God also is merciful. He is not willing that any should perish. But in spite of the fact that God is love and is merciful, we also notice throughout Scripture that he is light. And his mercy does not cause him to be lenient towards sin. Now, it is true, God loves the sinner. He loves you. But he hates sin. Now, in his heart of love, he has conceived a plan whereby men might have good news of salvation. And this good news of salvation is that which concerns, we read in verse 3, his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, says the Apostle Paul. I trust that you, the listener today, know him as Jesus Christ your Lord. This is essential. The Apostle Paul did. He had a miraculous conversion, and he owned him as Lord. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And he is the one who was sent to proclaim the gospel of God, the gospel which he calls my gospel. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Now this concerns the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Paul calls our Lord. And again I repeat, I trust that you, the listener, can include yourself amongst those that own Jesus Christ as Lord. And thus, you know then the salvation that is to be found in him. You have believed to the salvation of your soul. Now the one about whom the gospel is the Son of God, who is of the seed of David according to the flesh. He came as the seed of the woman and also the seed of David. He was man, born of a virgin, come into the world as man that he might redeem man, by giving himself in death as a substitute for man. And he was declared to be the Son of God with power. As he lived and walked here on this earth, what he did and said marked him out as being who he was, the Son of the everlasting God. The one who came from God, the one who came as God the Son, manifest in flesh. And the apostle said, "We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The miracles that he did stamped him out as being the Son of God, and especially those miracles of raising dead ones from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised the young man, the only son of his widowed mother. He raised Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days and buried. In these acts of power, he declared himself to be the Son of God, and also by his own resurrection. We see a testimony rendered as to who he is, for we remember what he said in John chapter 10, that he had power to lay his life down, and he had power to take it again. This was what has marked him out, manifested him to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from among the dead. Now, this is the one dear listening friend, that you have to do with. The one who was here as the Son of God and declared himself to be that by what he did and said, and then his death to accomplish redemption and his resurrection as a proof that his death was accepted, all was done according to and in the power of God, which was inherent in him. Now the gospel is concerning this one. Is it any wonder then that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? And it is, beloved listener, God's power to salvation for you, if you will believe. If you will own yourself to be the one for whom Jesus died, and accept him as your Lord and Savior, your substitute, as the one who died to redeem you, you will experience the salvation through the acceptance of this gospel, this good news. It is good news if you'll realize your need. Now the gospel reveals at least three things here, which I would just simply point out to you. And we read in verse 17 of this chapter 1 in Romans, first of all, for therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God, it is that which stands out in bold relief in contrast to the unrighteousness of man. The Bible declares that there is none righteous, no, not one. Man is absolutely unrighteous as in his nature, as in his practice, because he is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And man proves his character by his practice of sin. Man acts unrighteously because he is sinful. And this is true of all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God's verdict against every man and against you, if you have not noticed it, if you have not understood it, if you have not received it, is this: there is none righteous, no, not one. Righteousness is that quality of doing right, being right, acting right according to the standard of righteousness and holiness in accord with the glory of God. Now this is what man has come short of. He has come short of the glory of God. And in fact, so much so has sin tainted everything that he does that we read in Isaiah 64 that all our righteousnesses, those righteous deeds that we might do, which might receive acclaim and praise from man, and no doubt as far as man is concerned they would be listed as good works, yet done by those that know not God, they are accounted as nothing but filthy rags in his sight. All our righteousnesses or righteous deeds are but filthy rags in his sight. Now this is because of what man is by nature and by practice. But now, in contrast to this, you see, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed in the giving of his Son to come into the world. The righteousness of God is revealed at Calvary, where he made his Son to be sin for us. Why? That he might righteously take up the question of sin and settle it righteously, so that he could righteously proclaim to you a message that will save you righteously. Our God is righteous as well as love. And how he could be righteous and love at the same time is seen only at Calvary. Now God could not pass the sinner by. He would be merciful to man, for he loves man. But he could not pass the sinner by because his sin demands that he must die. The wages of sin is death. Well, how could God show his righteousness then and his love at the same time? In the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. God's righteousness is seen in giving his Son at Calvary to be the sin bearer as a substitute for man. The blessed Son of God bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And as he was the sin-bearer, a holy, righteous God lifted up his rod of judgment against his beloved Son, who had come to bear our judgment, to bear as a substitute the wrath against sin, that we might go free. This is God's plan. This has taken place. Calvary is an accomplished work done by the Son of God. The righteousness of God has been satisfied in meting out a just judgment of God against sin, which he hates. And it has disclosed his love for man, whom he loves. So at Calvary, we see God's righteousness, which is intrinsically holy, meeting his love in the death of his beloved Son, who died as a substitute for all mankind. Now, the gospel unfolds this. It reveals this. The righteousness of God is revealed. Now, it is revealed on the principle of faith. That's the thought from faith to faith. By faith, we receive this revelation that God has sent his Son to be the Savior. It is by faith that we receive it and are blessed. Verse 16 again tells us, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God has made this salvation available on the principle of faith. As it is written, he says, the just shall live by faith. There is no possibility of the sinner being saved from his sins and receiving life eternal apart from faith. It is not of works. You will see man's unrighteous character has disqualified him from working for his salvation. I could not work my soul to save. That work my Lord hath done. The Bible tells us that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But you notice, on the principle of faith, those that accept God's righteous judgment against sin and own it in repentance and realize that the Son of God died on the cross for him, for you, dear listener, personally, God counts that your faith is counted to you then for righteousness. The righteousness of God then is revealed on the principle of faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now those that will receive by faith the message of the gospel, and in doing so receive the Son of God as the personal Savior and substitute for them, they are made the righteousness of God on the principle of faith. They are given life eternal. The just shall live by faith. You are made just the moment you believe. We are justified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. You see, this is offered to all men. The righteousness of God, in verse 22 of chapter 3 we read, is offered by faith of Jesus Christ to all, and it comes upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Thank God, he is no respecter of persons. And he longs and desires that you might receive of his righteousness. You have none of your own. But in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Do you not desire to have peace with God and to know that your sins are righteously settled, atoned for? They have been if you will receive it by faith, if you will receive the Savior, accept him as your own. It says here, the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. So, with Paul we say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. In 2 Corinthians 5, we read that we are made the righteousness of God in him. When you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, all the righteousness of God is put to your account. Oh, what grace, what mercy this discloses. and we will see that it is not at the expense of righteousness, but righteousness has been satisfied. So love and righteousness have met at Calvary. And when you, the sinner, come to God in repentance and accept Christ Jesus as presented in His gospel, you too will be made righteous. You will receive life. You will be justified by faith in Jesus, and the just shall live by faith. Isn't it wonderful that God has made available this wonderful salvation on the principle of faith? Oh, what else could we do? We could not work for it. We're disqualified. And furthermore, the Bible tells us that sin has rendered us to be strengthless, helpless. But in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So, beloved listener, today, the Bible declares that the righteousness of God has been unfolded in the gospel of God, that which concerns His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and He is the one with whom you have to do. And I urge you today that you will turn to the book of God and read of this gospel in the book of Romans and see the Son of God as the one who was here to give His life for you. And He has been raised from the dead. He is in the glory. And He sends back this message of gospel, of good news, that you might believe. And when you believe, it will be the power of God to your personal and eternal salvation. May God bless His word for His name's sake. Loving God, our Father, use Thy word today, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that which has come from Thy heart concerning Him who died that we might live and rose again for our justification. We thank Thee that it is Thy power to salvation to everyone that believeth. May every listener today believe, accept Christ Jesus as personal Savior and live and be made righteous before Thee in Him. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.